football on off the ball.
If you took the rules today and applied them to the Leeds-Liverpool games, we'd have finished... Well, Johnny wouldn't have been on the pitch. Billy wouldn't have been on the pitch.
Join in the obsession.
Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Football Daily on Off the Ball with Lynx, a proud sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026.
Hello and welcome along to Tuesday's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan. Coming up today, Shamrock Rovers are in Armenia for their Champions League qualifier. Argentina could face disciplinary action for their conduct after Sunday's World Cup final. And is Pep Guardiola the man to turn things around with Italian football? But first up, Shamrock Rovers are in Yerevan for their latest Champions League qualifier. Rovers play Ararat Armenia in the second qualifying round, a stage the Premier Division champions haven't gone beyond since 2011, when Michael O'Neill was in charge, and that season they went on to reach the group stage in the Europa League. Stephen Bradley's side know a win would set up a meeting with either Slovenian champion Celje or Ignatia of Albania in the next round. Rovers are already guaranteed a place in the third qualifying round of the Europa League. Ararat won a third Armenian Premier League title last season and they beat Riga 4-3 in aggregate in the first qualifying round. Rovers captain Pico Lopez says it's a big chance for the club in the champions' path.
Yeah, it's huge. It's massively important to say, like, winning that first round opens up so many possibilities, and that's what we want. We want to try and go one better than we did last year, and that has to be Europa League. So that's our goal. I think everyone's pretty clear on that. Like, so... by getting that fourth round win, we've opened a massive opportunity. Now it's a big test to get through first, and we're looking forward to it.
Kick-off in Yerevan is 5 o'clock. Elsewhere in the Champions League qualifiers, Hearts are in Austria to face Sturm Graz. Niffel Premier Division champions Larne are at home to Red Star Belgrade in the first leg. FIFA has confirmed that Argentina will face an investigation into the ugly scenes at the end of the World Cup final. FIFA's disciplinary committee has appointed a disciplinary and ethics prosecutor to assess what happened after the final whistle in New Jersey. Any player or coach involved could face suspension, while the Argentine FA may also be fined. Shortly after Spain's 1-0 win on Sunday, members of the Argentina squad and backroom team were involved in altercations with Spain players as they started to celebrate their World Cup success. Nahuel Molina, Leandro Paredes, Thiago Almada and assistant coach Roberto Ayala all appeared to be involved. It was incorrectly reported on FIFA's commentator information, though, that Paredes had been sent off by the referee Slavko Vintage for pushing Spain's Eric Garcia. Paredes' red card was deleted shortly afterwards, and FIFA has confirmed no disciplinary action was taken at the time. FIFA had already started the process of potential disciplinary action against Argentina after their players held a banner in support of their country's claims to the Falkland Islands after they had beaten England 2-1 in the semi-finals. Writer and broadcaster Marcela Mora E. Araujo joined Michael McCarthy in the football show last night to speak about the World Cup final, and she spoke of the Lionel Messi fairy tale.
I think everybody, well, not everybody, but the vast majority of people wanted the Messi fairy tale and wanted this incredible once-in-a-lifetime, probably once-in-many-lifetimes player to finish his international career in the best possible way and have the fairy tale moment. But it was counterpointed by a rough and ready team who, you know, had moments throughout the World Cup, but also were, you know, physical and aggressive, and I think people could get behind that. And then there's a visible line that they cross, and it seemed last night as the game went on, people were just turning against Argentina. And I suppose the less Messi was involved, the more that became a factor. And it is something that seems to be always within the psyche of an Argentinian team, is that it's fight and grit and determination. But when it goes wrong, it can look like something else.
So I think the Messi fairy tale in 2022 was absolutely right. Everybody in the world wanted Messi to win the World Cup. Even the opposition players, everyone felt he deserved it. It was been a long time coming. There was something sort of cheery and jolly, and there was a novelty in this management system where three sort of players that were almost contemporary with him were managing the team as a committee. I think that this World Cup, that was over. And whether it's accusations of Argentina, as they some people are calling it, or Argent FIFA, of being arranged, of dirty tactics. I mean, the refereeing being favourable to Argentina. I think yesterday, Argentina lost its temper. There were players that were completely out of line. What Paredes did after the game is shocking. I don't think it's a reflection of a national trait. I wouldn't say all of us Argentinians behave like that when we're a goal down. And also, I think they were punished. You know, there were the Enzo Fernandez was sent off.
That's available to listen back to now in your OTB football podcast feed. Meanwhile, Spain arrived back in Madrid yesterday afternoon to celebrate their second World Cup triumph. Over 2 million people were on the streets to celebrate the success. And Spanish football writer Richard Fitzpatrick joined Colin Buig on Off the Ball Breakfast on Tuesday and spoke about the political relationship between Spain and the World Cup host, the USA.
It's no surprise there isn't great love between Spain and the United States at a political level over the last year or two. Pedro Sanchez, I believe, has been very brave in calling out Trump, you know, holding back on increasing defence spending. He was very, he's been very progressive and forward thinking in his immigration policy, bringing in an amnesty in back in around January to legalise about 500,000 immigrants here. He says immigration is a good thing, that it brings a richness to society, that it helps the coffers, because it's, although people don't like to admit it, it's, you know, it's mainly the immigrant workers who do the work, that the fruit picking, the house cleaning, those kind of jobs. And of course, you get bad eggs, but you get bad eggs across society. But the majority of immigrants are, you know, pay their taxes. They do. They bring a lot to the country. So there is that undercurrent going on. There's all these other elements of Spain and Catalonia, for example, have been very progressive or vocal in supporting the Palestinian cause, calling out America for funding the Israeli military machine. So there's a lot of undercurrents there in the celebrations, or sorry, in the award ceremony after the game straight afterwards. There was a lot made about how the Spanish players, Rodri, a few others, were very curt in acknowledging Trump. There's not any love lost there. But I mean, make Spain again great. It's not an aggressive political statement by Ferran Torres, just a bit of kidding around, like Mikel Mourinho was doing the Trump dance on the podium. So I mean, these guys are young footballers. They're I'd say Borja the most outspoken politically of them, but the majority of them are just young kids fooling around. You know, there's no venom in their display like that from Ferran.
And remember, Off the Ball Breakfast is live each and every weekday morning from 7:30 on the Go Loud app, and it's also on YouTube. Keith Tracy joined Colin Buick and Sarah O'Donovan on Monday's Off the Ball Breakfast to look back on events in New York, and the halftime show was something he didn't particularly enjoy.
That's absolutely shocking. The players should be the main focus here. I mean, it's a game of football we've all come to see. We haven't come to see the Muppets and Madonna and Ronaldo and Ronaldinho stand there like spare shin guards at a wedding.
Did you enjoy the halftime show?
No.
Wayne Rooney delivery there.
Would you like me to elaborate on it?
Do please, yeah.
I thought Madonna, not for me. Ronaldinho, Ronaldo, not for me. Not
Kermit the Frog.
Kermit the Frog, Miss Piggy, not really for me. Justin Bieber, not for me.
Shakira?
No, not really for me. Born Our Boy, not for me. Look, I just think, when I tune in to watch a World Cup final, I'm there to watch the final. I'm not there to watch this overinflated halftime show. What was it, 27 minutes long?
Yeah.
That's shocking. That's absolutely shocking. The players should be the main focus here. I mean, it's a game of football we've all come to see. We haven't come to see the Muppets and Madonna and Ronaldo and Ronaldinho stand there like spare shin guards at a wedding. It was all just a little bit bemusing for me, to be honest with you. But I'm fully aware that a lot of people would have been into it, and maybe the younger audience looking at the Muppets and Justin Bieber and that, maybe they got something out of it. But I think 27 minutes in the dressing room in between the half-time whistle and the second half kicking off is an absolute disgrace. But what can you say about FIFA?
Very first question, what does spare shin guards at a wedding mean?
Just spare. Just what are you doing there? Like, just knocking around. like Trump when Spain was celebrating, just lingering.
And if you don't want to miss any of our football coverage ahead of the new Premier League season and European seasons kicking off, why not become a member and sign up at offtheball.com/join. And Football Daily and Off The Ball is brought to you by Lynx, a proud sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026. Smell your best when you look your worst. The Italian Football Federation's met with Pep Guardiola to convince him to take over as manager, according to Sky in Italy. Paolo Maldini, the new technical director of the Italian Football Federation, and Leonardo, his advisor, travelled to Barcelona to speak with the former Manchester City boss. Other candidates for the role appear to be Roberto Mancini, Andrea Pirlo and Antonio Conte. Italy have failed to qualify for the last three World Cups. Gennaro Gattuso left the role when they lost to Bosnia-Herzegovina on penalties in the World Cup playoff final. Italy won the European Championship in 2021 under Mancini. Fans across football and beyond have been remembering Kevin Keegan, who died of cancer at the age of 75. He was a legendary player for Liverpool, and the former England captain was also synonymous with Newcastle, where he was a player and a manager and almost won the league title with them as manager. Although he didn't quite manage to get over the line in the Premier League, former Liverpool striker John Aldridge says he'll always be loved.
Wherever he went, he just gave everything that he had. And I know a lot of Newcastle fans, and they loved him as much as Liverpool football club supporters did as well. He, as a player, as a person, as a manager, he was amazing.
Liverpool legend Phil Thompson joined Mick McCarthy in the football show last night and spoke about Keegan's work ethic and how it suited the club when he joined in 1971.
And was it from the work ethic and the mindset? Because, like, obviously he's played, like, he's with Scunthorpe for quite a while, and like he comes to Liverpool in 71 and kind of like quickly enough becomes like the big player of that team and, you know, the mainstay. But I mean, it obviously wasn't, he wasn't like someone that was scouted from a young age or anything like that.
Had these values which suited Liverpool. Liverpool suited Keegan. There's been quite a lot of players like that. But Kevin came in and was so single-minded of what he wanted. And he was just, he wanted to be a superstar, and the fans took to him straight away. His work rate was infectious.
Mm.
You talk about high press and things like that. Keegan was full of it. Him and Toshack were just quite incredible. Honestly, they were the pair of strikers who were just perfect match. Big man, small man.
Yeah.
Kevin could easily sort of play off Tosh, and it was just something which was just made in heaven, the pair of them.
Yeah, and I suppose that work rate and everything like that in the press is kind of what made him such a great player. What was like? Is there anything else that kind of stood out to him as a footballer, like be it with Liverpool England? Because obviously, other than like maybe 101 you know great goals videos, none of us will have seen them.
Oh, they were great. You know, Wembley, scoring two goals at Wembley in 74 to beat Newcastle was something, and then going on to greatness with Newcastle. But it was what he did for England. You've got to imagine, Mick, this guy became a world superstar like George Best.
Mm.
This fellow was, at the time, played for Liverpool, but then went to Hamburg, got his pen, which was a massive, I think he copied mine, that was. But he was just this guy who stood out. And in 1982 in the World Cup in Spain, I think if Kevin had been fully fit, he only played the last 15 minutes of the second phase of the group stage. We played against Spain and West Germany and two not bad sides. And he only played the last 15 minutes against Spain. And if he had a chance, Trevor Brooken, who'd been injured, had a chance, they'd have been fit for that second stage. I do think we could have got further than that, but hey-ho, hasn't that been ever thus?
And why not listen back to when Kevin Keegan joined John Giles on the day that John Giles celebrated his 80th birthday? It was back in 2020, and it's available now in your OTB Football podcast feed. Sheffield United have completed the signing of Ireland international defender Matt Doherty. It's an initial one-year deal with the option of a second year. The 34-year-old played more than 400 games for Wolves over his two spells at Molineux. Andrew Crofts has left his coaching role at Brighton to join Roberto De Zerbi's backroom team at Tottenham. The Welshman worked with De Zerbi during his time at the Amex. And other news from Tottenham today, they've signed France international defender Alice Sombat from Lyon. The 22-year-old Champions League winner moves to the WSL for a club record fee, which is yet to be confirmed, but the previous record for Spurs is just under €450,000. That's about all we have time for in today's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan, back with more tomorrow.
Football Daily on Off the Ball with Lynx, a proud sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026.
To unlock much more from the OTB football feed, sign up at offtheball.com/join now.